your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy 30. We've taken a few extra moments this morning in our service to honor our seniors, and that's a good thing. That's okay. That's a good thing for us to do. And what I have to say this morning applies in particular to them, but in general to all of us. In other words, I want to share with you, I want to talk with you for a few moments, and this message this morning I think will have particular emphasis for Kaylin and for Jordan, but it applies to every one of us no matter where you are in life. See, if I were to ask the question this morning, if I were to do a survey among the congregation and to ask, what is the most crucial issue of life? What is the issue from here forward? If I were to ask for your advice for these graduates, that they pay particular attention to, I am certain I was getting as many opinions as there are people this morning. Some, I'm certain, would obviously say God. Others would say marriage. If I were to say, what are the top three things? Marriage would be in there. For others, career might be a part of that top three. For others still, education might be a part of that whole dynamic. Friends, I'm certain that some would mention friends and relationships. Others would mention financial security and securing your financial future. And the list, I think, would just go on and on and on and on. But all of those things have one thing in common this morning that affects your life. And I want to preach to you a message this morning entitled, "This Is Your Life." The area that will affect all of those areas that I mentioned and many more is this one aspect. I want to talk with you this morning about choices. Choices. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants might live. Choose to love the Lord your God and to obey him and commit yourself to him, for he is your life. Then you will live long in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Father, I thank you and I praise you this morning for the few moments that I have to share into the life of these seniors and their families and every person that is here this morning. For certainly, Lord, this issue of choice is a critical issue. And I ask this morning that you would come and you would take a few moments and speak into our lives and let us hear what you are saying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Choices. You have many of them to start making. To the two seniors, up to this point, a lot of your choices have been made for you. And some of that to your reluctance. Up to this point, there's some decisions you would have wanted to have made for yourself. But for the most part, to this point in life, all of us have been there, whether you have been there yourself or whether you have celebrated it with somebody else or maybe you've been in a family. All of us have seen this stage in people's lives and choices. And what you realize is that when you cross this threshold, when you cross over, you begin to get more and more of an opportunity to make choices for yourselves. And the choices get harder and harder and harder, do they not? Welcome. Welcome. One of you will be deciding about school. Where do I go to school? And what do I study in school? And if I study in school, then where do I go to school? And what, not only what major do I have, what minor do I have? And then from that, what career will I have with that choice that I've made? And from the career, well, where do I want to work in this career? What area of the country? What do I want to stay home? Do I want to move away? And if I choose a particular career, then who do I want to go with and who do I want to work with? Does anybody get the idea here? Choices don't stop. Choices just continue right on. They go right on. And choices, I think, whether you're talking about God, whether you're talking about family, whether you're talking about relationships, whether you're talking about college or career, whether you're talking about friends or what you're going to do with your time and energy and finances, then all of it has this one thing in common. You got to make a choice, right? You've got to choose you this day, Joshua 24:5. You've got to make a choice, and the choices matter. The list just goes on and on and on. Friends, relationships, finances, time, priorities, career, work, college, majors, minors. The list just goes on and on and on. And so this morning, I want to talk with you and just want to spend a few minutes. I want to show you two things this morning. One is some things about choices that you may not have realized or fully understand, or maybe some of us maybe have forgotten. And then the second thing I want to show us this morning is this, is how to make wiser choices. Those two things I want to accomplish this morning, and I hope that it will speak into your life. One thing about choices, because choices are absolutely critical, one thing about choices that you need to know is this, and you may not have thought it this way, choices are gifts from God. Every choice you make, every opportunity that you have to make a choice, it is a gift from God. When you are standing on the threshold and you are making a choice, it is a gift from God. In fact, the basis for choice is free will. That is one of God's greatest gifts to us. God gave man free will. Now, I know there's a lot of debate about that, especially today with the debates between the religions about how much free will we have. And that's not where I'm going this morning. This morning, what I want you to understand is this, is God gave you and I free will. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because God loved, the basis of that love is choice. God chose us and then he gave us the ability to choose him. Without choice, there is not love, right? Love cannot be genuine. Love cannot be real. Love cannot be true unless I have a choice, Jordan, of whether to accept or act on that love or not. That's the only way love is real and love is genuine. And every choice is a gift from God. You were created and you were given the ability to make a choice. God designed that. He created that in you. In fact, I'm going to tell you something that maybe your parents haven't told you before now, and that is that desire within you that you've had to this point that they have kept kind of curbed has been that desire for you to make your own choices is actually a God-given thing, isn't it? That desire to make your own choices and to make that is a God puts it deep inside. I don't want somebody else making my choices. I don't want somebody else making my decisions. I want to be able to make the choices for my life. And when you come on that threshold, you need to value every choice as a gift from God. God's given me this choice. And it doesn't matter. I'm not just talking about a choice this morning of whether to come to the altar or not, or whether to come to church or not. I'm talking about every choice that you make. When you stand at the threshold with you and a friend, and the friend is going one direction and you are going the other, that's a gift from God. God's given you that choice. And that is a gift from God because this is a moment that you will make a decision and you will choose to go one direction or the other. And if you choose the right direction, it will make you a stronger person, a person with more integrity and more character. And that's a gift from God in the midst of that choice. Are you going to follow your friends and be like them? Or are you going to be somebody different? And listen to me, it doesn't just happen there. It happens in the workplace every day. It happens in the home every day. It happens in the neighborhood and at the ballpark every day. You and I have to make choices, and those choices are gifts from God. And if we choose the right direction, they are great gifts from God because they solidify who I am. They speak to my character. They speak to my integrity. Choices are gifts from God. In fact, in America, we have another level of choice that's beyond that, and that is that you and I are one of the few nations in the world that have freedom to choose. I don't know how often you do it, but when you get up in the mornings, you need to thank the good Lord above that you were born in America. Do you know how many people live in places where they don't get a choice? They don't get to choose who they worship. They don't get to choose what they eat. They don't get to choose whether they have a car or not, or a job or not. If they have a job, they don't get to choose what job they work in. They don't get to choose a career. It is mandated and dictated by a dictator or by a particular political system. And I'm telling you, we live in America. And that's one of the great things in America that you and I, we're given freedom to choose. And so the point I want to make to you this morning is this. Don't take those choices lightly. Every one of them. The small choices about are you going to spend this weekend and how are you going to spend this day or how are you going to spend this evening, and the big choices about who your mate will be, who your spouse will be, the person that you're going to love and spend the rest of your life with. You have choices. Don't take those choices lightly. Choices are gifts from God. That's one thing I want you to see this morning. Choices are gifts from God. The second thing flows out of the first one, and it is this. Choices are gifts from God, and because choices are gifts from God, choices must be guarded. Choices must be guarded. I am surprised at the people who go through life never weighing the choices they make. They live. In fact, I've had them say to me, in fact, it's kind of interesting. Brother Dale, I've had them come into my office, and they're there for counseling, right? They're there because life has gone, well, nuts on them. It's turned them upside down, turned them inside out. Life is, you know, people don't come to counseling because everything's going good. I have yet to have anyone come to the office. Pastor, I just want to come by and tell you, I want to counsel with you today so I can come by and tell you how great life is going. Most of them come because life is, well, just went awry in some way or another. And oftentimes it works on choices. And oftentimes when I challenge them on that, by the way, you know, that's what counselors are for in our lives. They're not there just to pat us on the back and say it'll be all right. It is to help us see into our own lives. And sometimes when I challenge and I say, well, you know, this choice that you've made, and they will say to me, here's the oddity of it. They'll say to me, Brother Larry, well, I just live happy-go-lucky, you know? And I want to say, and do sometimes say, well, how's that working out for you? Right? I mean, because you're sitting here. We're spending an hour or so together today. And listen, happy-go-lucky isn't happy and rarely lucky, right? I mean, not, you know this. You and I, we've walked through this. Happy-go-lucky is almost never happy and rarely ever lucky. In fact, oftentimes it is unhappy and unlucky. You got to guard those choices. You got to guard the choices that you make in your life. And I'm going to say to you that has to be done in two ways. And I'll mention this again at the end, but it's important that I mention it here. How to guard your choices. One is you guard your choices by guarding your mind. Right? Are you with me this morning? Are you tracking with me this morning? If you want, listen, you're going to make choices with your mind and your heart. And so you have to guard your mind. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, what I mean by that is exactly this. Your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions impact the choices that you make. The way you feel about something impacts the choices that you make. The way that your emotions impact the choices that you make. And so you've got to guard your mind. You've got to guard what you see and what you hear and the conversations you listen to and the people that you hang out around and the paths that you choose for your life. You've got to guard what you do Friday night, because what you do and the choice you make on Friday night is going to impact Saturday and Sunday and Monday and may impact the rest of your life. You've got to guard those choices, right? You got to guard those choices. You got to guard your mind, and you got to guard not only your mind, you got to guard your heart. You got to guard what you receive into your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, you declare those choices that your heart has set itself on. I was reading recently by a man named Allen who said, "You are the sum total of what you have set your heart upon." And there's a lot of truth in that. What I set my heart on, what I allow my heart to desire, what I allow myself to be entertained by, that will impact and affect the choices. It'll affect what you believe and what you think, and it will impact the choices that you make. What you think about impacts your choices. What you feel impacts your choices. What you think about truth impacts your choices. What you stand for impacts your choices. These are reservoirs from which choices are made. Reservoirs from which choices are made, the choices that we make. It matters who your friends are. And I'm not just talking to the seniors here. I'm talking, it matters who your friends are. It matters the people you associate with. It matters what you view. Listen to me. It matters what you view on TV. It matters what you entertain yourself with. And what you allow to entertain you. It absolutely matters. Listen, if it doesn't matter, the advertising companies would not spend trillions of dollars every single day, every day, to impact your choices. They know this. They know that if you are told that Mountain Dew will make you slim and beautiful and fit, right? If they can convince you of that, then you will choose Mountain Dew. Now, never mind the fact, right? Now, we got any Mountain Dew addicts? Because I'm gonna mess with you a little bit this morning, right? You got any Mountain Dew addicts? Never mind the fact that Mountain Dew has More sugar than any other soft drink, more caffeine than any other soft drink. It's not going to make you slim and beautiful. It's not going to make you a calm person that can handle life, right? But that doesn't matter, right? Because what you become convinced of in your heart, that's what you act on. That's what you act on. They're choices. So you must, Jordan and KK and all of the rest of us, you must, Joy, you must guard your mind and guard your heart, because out of it, you will make your choices. You will make your choices. So two quick pieces of advice about that. One is this: do not allow your mind and your heart to become depleted, and do not allow it to become polluted. Let me say that again. If I make my choices out of my mind and my heart, then I do not allow my mind and my heart to get depleted. In other words, I don't let it run dry. I keep it fed on the Word of God. I keep it fed with Christian fellowship. I keep it fed by connecting with mentors and spiritual mentors in my life. I keep my heart and my mind fed, and I do not allow it to become polluted. Polluted. Because a little bit of leaven does affect the entire lump, doesn't it? Choices are guarded. Gifts from God, choices are guarded. Let me show you something else here just real quick that you may not realize about choices. You make your choices, and then your choices make you. In fact, that's the main idea. If you don't get anything else I've said this morning, I want you to get this. You make your choices, and then your choices make you. I do get to decide who my friends are. I do get to decide what I believe. I do get to decide what I act on, how I spend my time, how I spend my money. I do get to decide the kind of character and integrity that I'm going to have. I do get to decide the stand I'm going to make. But those decisions that I make then make me the person that I am. Right? You make your choices, and then your choices make you. Yes, you have control over the choice. Congratulations. But then your choice has control over you. Sometimes we don't connect those two together. I know people that feel that life is out of control, that it's beyond them, that it's out of their grasp, that there's nothing they can do about it. And I got to admit to you, so oftentimes that actually appears true. But the majority of the time, that is the result of a choice that has been made somewhere down the line. Rarely ever. Now, it does happen. But rarely ever is it the result of somebody else's choice. In fact, oftentimes, somebody else has made a choice, but what you choose to do with their choice is your choice, and your choice determines who you are. Weigh the consequences before you make the choice. Listen to me. Despite what the liberal media and the classroom has told you, there are consequences for choices, right? Despite what our Western mentality has told us, there are consequences for our choices. It does matter. It does make a difference. And choices are often within our control. And if they're not, oftentimes we at least have the ability to choose what we're going to do with that. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. Choices are much more under your control than consequences, right? When I choose, I have a much greater level of control than I do when the consequences come. Because the consequences, well, I have set that in motion already. You make your choices, and then your choices make you. They didn't determine you. That then flows into the fourth thing I want you to show this morning. That is this. The better choices you make, the better options you have. Now let that sink into you this morning. The better choices you make, the better options you have. If I could gift wrap the essence of growing up, if I could gift wrap it and give it to you, this would be what I would gift wrap, this idea. The better choices you make, the better options you have. Right? It's true in life, isn't it? It's true with our finances. I get to choose what I do with my finances. And the better choices I make with my finances, the better options I have down the line, right? The better choices I make with my relationships, the better options that I have as I go forward, as I go through life. What I choose to do educationally, the better choice I make educationally, then the better options that I have as I go down the line. And let me tell you, the opposite is true too. The worse your choices, the worse your options. Sometimes people find themselves in their life and they say, I have no way out. I have nowhere to turn. I have nowhere to, life is just crazy for me. I have no way out, nowhere to turn. And I say, yeah, because you passed all the turning places, right? With the choices that you made. It's not that you don't. You're at a dead end now. I get that you're at a dead end. That's why you're here talking with me. You've got a dead end. But the point is that you don't say and say, I never had. Oh, yeah, you had a choice. You passed road after road after road after road, right? You've passed a place where you could get off time and time and time again. And it's you are where you are many times, or we are where we are many times because of the choices we make. The better choices you make, the better options you have, the worse choices you make. Well, right? I mean, think about it. Think about one of the bad boys of the Bible, Samson. Think about Samson's life, just for a moment. I'm not going to go into it in a lot of detail because most of you know the story. Remember, Samson was a man endowed with great power from God. He was called as a judge for the nation of Israel. He was called as a judge. And he did endued with great power to help deliver Israel from the Philistines. And there's, if you look at his life, you remember he fell in love with a lady who was not designed and not purposed for him, and it really just wreaked havoc in his life. But think about Samson's poor choices. Think about it a moment. Samson chose, it was his choice now, watch this. Samson chose a wife outside of Israel. He was commanded as a judge to take a wife inside of Israel, as all Jewish males were, but he chose to take a wife outside of Israel. Now, when he chose to look for a wife outside of Israel, he only had two choices. He could either disobey God or he could forsake the love of his woman. Neither one of those are good choices, right? Neither one of those, when he decided, I'm going to look for a wife outside of Israel, that did not leave him very good options. When he made that decision, then he had to either choose to disobey God or to forsake the love of the woman he had fell in love with. Can I tell you something? This is a different message for a different time, and I may have mentioned it one before, but oh my goodness, I wish I could get it through to young people and to young adults who are making decisions. You can fall in love with the wrong person. You can fall in love with somebody that God didn't design for you. You can fall in love with someone that is not good for your life. And it doesn't mean that that love's not good, not real, not tangible, not powerful. Oh, it's very powerful in your life. The problem is you don't have very good choices then, do you? I have to choose to go against what I know is right because I know deep in me this person is not good for me, or I have to choose to forsake who I am and what I am. Those aren't good choices to have. So the better choices you make, the better options that you have, the better opportunities you have. Watch as it goes through. Watch this. Samson chose to make friends with the enemies of God. Well, I got to tell you, that doesn't leave a lot of options, does it? At least not any good options. When Samson chose to make his friend from the enemies of Israel and the enemies of God, when that was his friends, he either had to live like they lived or lived like an outcast. Now, I got to tell you, that has some direct implications for me and you today, doesn't it? For you and I today. Some direct implications for my life. When I choose to make my circle of friends those that are enemies of God, then the only two choices I have, I got to live like they live, or I got to live as an outcast among them. Wow. Well, what's the answer? Neither one of those options is the answer. The answer is to make your friends from those who are the friends of God. Choose to be friends with those who are friends of God. Let me just mention one more. Samson chose to play games with his gift. It was a choice he made. I'll tell you a little riddle. If I tell you a riddle and you figure it out. He chose what? To play games with the gift God had put in his life. And God had placed in his life. And when he chose to make that a game and to play with that, he had one of two choices. He could either live like an animal
or die with his captors. That's tough choices to have, isn't it? The fact is, he didn't have to play a game with it. God had given him the power to defeat his enemies. He didn't have to play a game with his enemies. The better choices you make, the better options you have. God never intended this for Samson's life. But Samson's choices, once made, left him few options. Proverbs 12:26 says this: the righteous should choose friends carefully, for the way of wicked leads them astray. The righteous should choose friends carefully, for the way of wicked lead them astray. Let me show you another thing. One last thing about choices. And then I'm going to tell us just real quickly how to make some wiser choices. Listen to me. Not only the seniors, but everybody here. Your choices affect more than you. Your choices affect more than you. If you're a dad in the home, your choices affect your whole home. If you're a mom in the home, your choices affect your whole home. If you're a teenager in the home, listen to me, teenagers. Listen to me. Most of you are gathered up here. Look right at me. Listen to me. I know you're taking notes on your cell phones. You're not playing, I'm sure. They're reading Bible verses and taking notes. Listen to me. The choices you make as teenagers impact your whole family. It is not just your life. It's not just your life. It affects everyone in the family. It affects all. Listen, it's not just your life. It's not just your choices. Same way on the workplace. Many of you in the workplace, your choices affect everyone else. The choices you make, it affects everybody else. The ramifications go much bigger. That's bigger. The thing about a choice is a choice is like a rock thrown in a still pond. It has ripple effect, and it continues to ripple and ripple out. Choices affect more than just you. It's more than just your life. Never be caught saying, it's my life. I'll do what I want. It doesn't affect anybody but me. That's a lie of Satan. That's how David made the choice he did, wasn't it? I'm king. It won't affect anybody but me. But what did we find? We find David's choice with Bathsheba was one that impacted. Listen, think about that a moment. David's choice, the day he made standing on that balcony or on that rooftop, David's choice that he made, it impacted his family immediately, because the child born by that then eventually died. It affected and impacted his other kids because of David's choice. Rebellion was born into his home. It affected not only that, it affected the houses of Judah and Israel. They then were warring against each other. Are you kidding me? This one choice had all those effects? Yes. Our choices impact far more than just us. On the positive side of that, if you choose right and you choose righteousness, that has powerful effects too. Samuel, this little 12-year-old boy, I'm amazed at how a little 12-year-old boy makes a choice that impacts the nation of Israel so greatly. He chose to stay in the house of the Lord. He chose to be a servant of Eli and to walk along beside him. And because of Samuel's choice, the presence of God began to show up again. And he became a prophet in the nation, was able to give direction to the nation like no other prophet had before then, and like no prophet did after him until Jesus himself came in. What are you saying? Your choices matter. They make a difference. You may be the one who makes a choice in your group of friends and determines the direction they go. Your choices matter. They impact, they affect far more than just you. So what do we do then? What do we do then with those choices? Let me just tell you three things or four things real quickly. Actions. What can I do? What difference can I make? How can I make better choices? And this is not certainly just for the seniors this morning. This is for every person here, because here's what I know. The moment you leave these doors this morning, you'll have choices to make. The moment you get to your workplace in the morning, you'll have choices to make. When you turn on the TV this afternoon, you are choosing what will entertain you. When you make a decision about your checkbook, you're making some decisions about not only the present, but about the future. And so choices matter. So here's what I want to say to you this morning. Four things. I'm going to say them real quickly. I'm going to let you go this morning. One is this. Choose a path today. To make wiser choices, choose a path today. Now, let me illustrate this, and I'm going to illustrate it with morality, okay? But this applies far more than just morality. It's just that morality is a great way to illustrate it. It illustrates it perhaps better than any other way. You have to choose, teenagers, young adults, parents, grandparents, you have to choose. There comes a day when you have to choose what kind of person you're going to be morally. You have to decide that. You have to make up your mind about that. You've got to decide who I'm going to be as a moral person. That's what Joseph did. That's what Joseph did when it came to Potiphar's wife. Joseph didn't make up his mind what to do about Potiphar's wife when he was standing there and Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him. Joseph had chosen, he had made a decision long before that. He knew what kind of man he was going to be. He knew what kind of person he was going to be. He made a choice one day and he lived by that choice. Now listen to me this morning. Let me just make it real to you. The time to make a decision about what kind of person you're going to be morally is not when you're in the backseat of a car and the windows are fogged up, right? I mean, can I just say that blunt enough? That's not the time to make a choice about what kind of person you're going to be morally, right? You got to make a decision about that long before then. You got to decide what kind of person you're going to be, what kind of individual you're going to be. Let me flip it over and make it. Let me make it more real, perhaps for more of us. You got to decide what kind of man you're going to be, kind of woman you're going to be in integrity before the business deal that is backhanded, that's going to injure somebody, that may be just barely legal or illegal right on the line. Listen to me. You got to decide what kind of integrity you're going to have long before you can make $100,000 with a deal that's shady. My goodness, that just... whew. Right? You can't decide... listen to me. You cannot... when the guy walks in your door and he lays $100,000 in front of you, if you'll just launder it for him, right? That's not the time to make up your mind if you're going to live with integrity or not. You got to make up your mind long before that. You got to choose a path today. If you want to make wiser decisions, choose the path of life you want to walk. That's what Moses was saying to the children of Israel. He says, I set before you this day life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life. What was he saying? You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. To make wiser decisions, make a choice. Second thing is connected to that, but it's different. It is this. If you want to make wiser decisions, choose daily. Choose daily. In other words, when I make a choice to walk a path, here's what I know. Every day, I'm going to have opportunities to stay on or get off that path, and I've got to choose daily the choice, make daily the choices that will keep me on that path. To make wiser decisions, you got to choose a path, and then when those daily decisions come up, you've got to make a choice that keeps you on that path. You've got to evaluate that. Does this get me closer to the man of God I want to be? Does this get me closer to the calling of God on my life? Does this fulfill God's purpose in my life? Does this make me more of a man of integrity, a woman of integrity and character? Does this further what God is trying to do in my life? In other words, I've made a choice to choose life, to choose blessing, and so every day I choose those things that will help me walk that path. Right? If you want to make wiser decisions, make a choice. If you want to make wiser decisions, choose daily those things that keep you on that path. Third thing is this. Choose a path, choose daily. Third thing is this. I'm going to say it again. I mentioned it earlier because it is so crucial. Guard your heart. If you want to make a wiser decisions, you have to guard your heart. Remember the old saying, when we used to, and I don't matter how many of you, way back when, I don't know how far back you can go, but when computers first came out, they had all of us learning BASIC. You remember the computer language BASIC? I don't know, you know, you remember learning some of that BASIC, and you program a computer in BASIC. You remember the old, adage about that? Garbage in, garbage out, right? If you got a bad result, it was because something bad went in. And listen, life is that way. Garbage in, garbage out. I cannot make wise choices if I'm watching and entertaining and reading and thinking and meditating on and setting my heart on unwise things. If I'm going to make a wise choice, I gotta guard my heart. I don't want garbage in, garbage out. I want God in, God out. I want integrity in, integrity out. I want character in, character out. I want to make wise choices, and so I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to guard my heart. And then the last one of these facilitates the other three. In other words, this is sort of the pendulum. This is the point, the fulcrum. Godly counsel. If you want to make wiser decisions in your life, you got to have some godly counsel around you. KK, one of the most important decisions that you will make in the next several weeks is who you will take counsel from, who you will listen to, who you will allow to speak into your life. Jordan, one of the most important decisions you'll make over the next several weeks and months is that decision. It is, who will be my counselors? I don't mean the person that you sign up for at school to be your counselor. I mean the person that speaks into your life. There are three sources for that. One, obviously, clearly, is God. It's the Holy Spirit and His Holy Word. You do know, don't you, that Christ called the Holy Spirit our counselor. He's a godly counselor. And He said that the whole counsel of the Word would not lead us wrong. The Holy Spirit needs to be your number one counselor. Every decision you make, you need to pass by Him. Every choice you make, you need to pass by Him. He is your counselor. He's your counselor. The second source for that, one is the Holy Spirit. The second source for that is spiritual mentors. Spiritual mentors. This is something, and I don't know why, where we got off from it, but it is something in the last many years that the Christian church has gotten away from, but I'm hearing more of it today, and I'm thankful for that. Listen, everybody needs a mentor in their life. They need a spiritual mentor. Somebody that has been there, walked there before. Every Timothy needs a Paul. You need somebody that's walked the path. You need somebody that's been down that road. You need somebody that's been there before. You need a spiritual mentor in your life. Two great places to get that. One is family and the other is church. Let the spiritual mentors speak into your life and just speak God into your life. And listen, when you've got a tough decision, don't be afraid to go to your spiritual mentors and to run it by them. I have three spiritual mentors in my life. And listen to me, I'm often on the phone with them, and I am a mentor to some other guys. And listen to me, we're just open and honest and transparent with each other. And sometimes I call them up and say, guys, I do not know what decision to make here. I don't know what choice to make here. I need you to help me pour into my life. Have you walked down this path? Find a spiritual mentor that's made good, wise choices. Let them speak into your life. And in that, and I do want to say this specifically to the seniors and to the teenagers, listen to me, don't negate the spiritual mentorship of your families. God has placed them strategically in your life to speak into your life. Spiritual mentors, the Holy Spirit, spiritual mentors. And then the third thing is this, listen to me. Godly friends. I know this is the second week in a row that I've spoken on this. It's not necessarily by intention or design, it's just in my heart. Surround yourself with people that are on the path that you want to go. And if you're following the crowd, listen to me. If you're following the crowd, if you're going to follow the crowd, make sure you want to go where they're going. Right? Make sure you want to end up where they're going to end up. You want to go where they're going. You don't just get in the crowd, you know, just following the crowd. Where are we going? I don't know where we're going, but we're having a good time, aren't we? Right? I'm not sure where we're going to end up. I mean, how many of you would do that? Go down to the train station. I'm not sure where they're going, but man, they're having a good time, so I'm getting on, right? Well, I want to know who's driving the train. right? I want to know who's driving the train. I want to know who's paying the ticket. I want to know where this thing is going. I want to know how to get back if I need to get back, right? I want to know if I want to end up where they're going to end up. If that's true of a train trip, how true is it of life? Oh, man, I want to know who's driving the train, right, of life. I want to be connected with the conductor. I want to be plugged in with him. I want to know where this train's going. I want to know that we're going to end up somewhere where God wants me to be. Spiritual friends do that in your life. They help you stay on track. They help you stay on pace. This morning, what I wanted to impress upon the seniors and all of us is this. You make your choices. And then your choices make you. So choose wisely. Amen. Amen. Just stand to your feet this morning. Father, in this place, in this house this morning, there's only one kind of person. And that is the ones who's made choices. We've made good choices and we've made bad choices. But I thank you that you allow us to start again today. Lord, there may be some that are here this morning that have made decisions and choices in the past that have them in a place that they don't want to be. What good news it is that you allow us to start making wiser choices today. And the wiser, better choices we make from here forward, then the better options we have. God, it's not a dead-end street. You're a God of redemption. You're a God who comes into our lives and you move in our lives. And yes, sometimes we have to live with some consequences of some choices, but God, you have a better path ahead, a better plan ahead. You have some things you want to do in our lives. So God, I thank you that whether, as we sit here this morning, whether we have been mostly good choices or mostly bad choices, today we can choose to follow you. Today we can choose to start again. Today we can choose fresh what you're doing in our lives. Holy Spirit, I pray that you impress upon our hearts this morning that we make our choices and our choices make us, and that we then should choose wisely. Today, Lord, we choose you. And each day, God, we're going to choose, make a choice that keeps us on that path toward you. And today, Lord, we're going to guard our hearts so that we can make wiser choices. And today, Lord, we're going to surround ourselves with godly counsel. Godly counsel. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have to do this morning. Keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I have to do this. I'm going to do it quickly. The Holy Spirit's already done the work. But I cannot dismiss this morning without giving you an opportunity. There may be some that are here this morning. You've made some bad choices in your life, and you know where you are right now. You are on a path that is not leading you to God. It's not leading you where you want to go. It's not leading you to a place that's going to end up very good. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning to make a choice. Like I said a few moments ago, choose today to change paths. If you are here this morning and you would say, just by raising your hand, you would say, Pastor, I'm on a path that I do not want to be on any longer. I'm on a path that I do not want to be on any longer. And I want to choose a different path today. If that's you, if the Holy Spirit's been working on you as I've been preaching, I just want you to slip up your hand real quick. Real quick this morning. There's one hand. Thank you. Somebody else. I'm on a path right now today, and I need to make a choice about a different path. A different path. Is there somebody else? If you want to raise your hand this morning, I just want to pray a prayer with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pause just for a moment. Then we're going to pray a prayer together, and I'm going to let you go. Somebody else. Pastor, I want to change paths. I don't like the path I'm on. I need to make a different choice. Thank you, Lord. Now, here's what I want you to do. That individual that raised your hand, it's crucial that you pray this prayer and that you pray it out loud. And therefore, I'm going to ask every one of us, our neighbors, let's all pray this prayer out loud together. Who knows? You may, You may, as you're praying, realize, oh man, God's doing something in my own life. But will you do that this morning? Will you pray this prayer with me real simply this morning? Lord Jesus, I thank you for bringing me here today where I can make a choice. There's some decisions I've made that have me on a path that I don't want to be on. So I ask you to redeem me and let me choose a different path. Today I choose you. I give up all of those things that have me on a path away from you. And I choose you today. Look in my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Save me from my past and redeem my future. And in the best way I know how, I'll live my life for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Father, we thank you. We praise you right now as a congregation, Lord, for that one individual that raised their hand and perhaps for others, Lord, that made a choice for you this morning. We ask, Lord, that indeed that you will redeem, rescue, make new, release, and refresh them today to live to the fullness of what you've done and are doing in their lives. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you.